Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
ここいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ。どこにいるのかな。見えない。
あ、こんなところ。
I miss you.What's good, internet? It's Friday, May 8th, and you're listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 312. Is that right?
Yes.
312, because last time was 311.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
yeah.
Had that whole
I'm your host. We did that whole thing. I'm your host, Austin Walker. I'm joined by Rob Zachney, Ricardo Contreras. How Hello. Y'all doing today? Coming hot off the heels of this Xbox event that has the internet burning down in excitement. What's this?
I'm so hearing? Glad we delayed recording for that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely worth it. Let's start on a good note. What was your favorite thing from that event? What was the thing in that event that you were like, oh, okay, cool?
I liked the part where we had to break it to Kato that H.R. Geiger passed away some time ago.
That was fun.
That was good. Yeah. Where Kato legitimately thought that he'd probably worked on that game Scorn.
It was
Well, I mean, it is literally a direct homage to Geiger, right?
I mean, it has to be. There's no way that sprung full form from somebody's head and they did not know who H.R. Geiger was.
It's fucked up. Apparently, that's very funny. That game is going to be released in two parts. The first is to be called Dasein, a German word that means being there in vernacular German, and being in the world in Martin Heidegger's philosophy. Great. What? Love that we're just, yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Dasein. Sure. Let's get it. Heidegger, you got some issues, but, you know, well, nevertheless. Yeah, that trailer was something. Scorn.
It had a good look. Like, if you like that aesthetic.
Did it, though? What's it doing?
Right. That's a
what's it doing question. that the work that its primary influences haven't already done is my question. Besides, like, put it in 3D.
That's right, the thing. Now you can be in it.
I can tell you what it is. According to Wikipedia, the player starts with a pistol, a 6-shot weapon dealing mild damage to the in-game enemies.
Oh.
There you go. That's what it is different.
Get a gun.
For real. Yeah. The game thus far presents two main weapons, a pistol and shotgun.
Okay.
So now you can yet live the fantasy of, like, what if I could run through that H.R. Geiger concept art and kill fools as I do it?
The shotgun is a 3-shot weapon that deals considerable damage to enemies close up, but the damage drops at long distances.
Mm. All right.
The shotgun is composed of the same materials, a pistol appearing to be made from organic matter.
These weapons also express our sexual anxieties.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And sort of speak to more atavistic fears and desires that we sort of bury deep within ourselves. And so that's why, it's the shotgun does more damage up close and the pistol is sort of a weak all-rounder.
I'm not saying you can't do something interesting with violence and the kind of Geiger-esque sexual, like, architectural organic design stuff. And I mean, the reason I'm saying you can't do that is because it's been done for 30 years.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that this game is going to be bad or anything like that. I know it was Kickstarter. I know a lot of people are looking forward to it. It's just one of those things that's like,
didn't see anything new in the
Actually, I think this speaks to maybe my biggest issue with this. Like, the presentation was bad. I don't know how the games looked, right? Because everything was going for a very... I mean, they're all game trailers. It was just a chain of game trailers. But I think the thing is, they're all done in this very sizzle reel style. But a lot of these games are, if they're going to be at all interesting, they're probably doing stuff that doesn't lend itself super well to a sizzle reel, or we become so desensitized to that, like, pacing and editing, that nothing here, we're all very justifiably cynical about presentations like this. You show these sort of supercuts of an aesthetic and the action, but that doesn't convey anything, and that can often read as almost like masking a lack of substance as much as it implies greater substance. And so I think this was the real issue with this entire presentation was, if you were sort of coming to this with a desire to learn about, like, hey, what am I going to be playing on the Series X? You left with no greater insight into that question at the end of this presentation than you went into it with.
Right. I mean, let me rewind a little bit for people who have no idea what we're talking about. There was an Inside Xbox event today, or the day we're recording this, Thursday, that was supposed to be kind of the first look at extended gameplay on the Series X. These are the types of games, like Rob said, that you'll be playing in just a matter of months if you want to buy a Series X. And what it felt like to me was very much looking at, like, upcoming game releases on Steam. And I don't mean that as a jab to those games. Really what I want to emphasize is that, like, I think that an event like this did those games a kind of disservice. When I think about the traditional, like, E3 press, you know, conference thing, and that's not what this is. This is not the stand-in for that. Microsoft said up front, like, no first party stuff is going to be at this event. There's going to be a big first party event in July, I want to say, that they said. So look forward to that, blah, 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 blah. That's when you'll see Halo. That's when you'll see all the other stuff. So I knew that it wasn't going to be like knock it out the park. Everything is like, this is what gamers want. but what normally happens in an event like that is you have a couple of big, like, standard bearers, the things that, like, that a lot of people are really excited about, right? Here is your Halo. Here is your new FromSoft game. Here is your new Call of Duty or whatever. I may not be that interested in those, but what putting those there does is create a certain atmosphere of interest and excitement. And then this has been, like, the story of the last decade of games. And you know, for a while Sony was doing it really well. For a while Xbox was doing it really well. They handed it off back and forth. Nintendo does it with their indie stuff on not on stage, but during some directs and stuff. Where it's like, oh, everyone's hyped up, and now here's this cool little indie project, or here is this, like, game from a smaller studio that's still getting published by a major publisher, but you would have missed it otherwise. You don't necessarily care about it. I look at something like that Bloober Team game here, Bloober Team, the team that did Observer and the Blair Witch game and Layers of Fear, have a new game coming out called The Medium that's set in Krakow and features a woman who is, like, seeing into the spirit realm. And it has music by Akira Yamaoka, who is the composer of Silent Hill. And, like, that's exciting. But here it kind of felt flat because it resembled everything around it so much. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it got the contrast with Call of Duty a second ago, and suddenly this is something that really stands apart. And that's on top of what Rob identified, which is also everything had to be framed in terms of, like, and this is coming to you with 4K, 60 frames a second. I don't know if that's true for The Medium, but, like, that was, like, the vibe of all of this stuff was, like, bask in the atmosphere of next gen. And, like, that doesn't do any of these games favors because they all basically look like decent games. You know what I mean? None of them looked stunning. I don't know. Kata, there's anything
also, I mean, it's going to be tough to say bask in the flavor of next gen when, like, you will need... Like, you'll need some serious understanding of the nuances of graphics tech, I think, to really tell at a glance, like, oh, shit, like, they couldn't have done this on Xbox One. That's going to be tough to parse. And I think this is the other part of this is, like, the messaging around this is going to be, look at the technical powerhouse we're unleashing on gamers. But one, many of these are not the games that will necessarily benefit or showcase that technology the most, but then also, even if they can, like, how different is Medium going to look on Xbox One than on the Series X, right? Like, that's just going to be tough to parse.
It is, totally. Kato, I'm curious if you had anything that really stood out in terms of games that you were interested in, or
I mean, just
made a positive vibe.
I was kind of interested in Call of the Sea just because it wasn't as dark as everything else. Is like, oh, look, there's color in this world for a second. Who knows what that game is? But that's the thing, is, like, it's such a, like, that trailer was such a like. Not, I don't know. Like, I don't know what that game is. It was just like visually, this looks a little distinct from the stuff that we've seen. The rest of the things, which are all going for like a realism bent.
I think it was about that game. Huh? Grace Benfell, who on Twitter, Grace Machine on Twitter, who wrote that piece on Final Fantasy VII's pre-rendered backgrounds for us, was like, there were like four games in this thing that when the trailer first started, I thought, is this the new Bioshock? Yeah. And that was the chief one. Uh-huh. That was the big one.
Yep.
Love to look down at a picture of my parents / spouse / child and remember that one thing that they said that will encourage me to go kill hundreds of whatever.
Right.
Synth mutants or whatever.
Well, that's the one thing that kept me a little bit like interested though, is that there wasn't then like a, and now we're shooting and now there's power. So I'm still kind of curious what is happening, because the only thing you see is like a hand, like...
alien handprint, sort of, maybe alien. Something. Who could
like,
even
so
say?
Like, who knows? Like, is it a puzzle adventure exploring game or is it a shooter? Like, who knows?
Right.
It could be either of those things. And then, of course, the anime game. It was like, anime. This is also different.
That trailer infuriated me.
An anime game.
That trailer infuriated me because it started with, this is a trailer for Scarlet Nexus, a new Bandai Namco game that starts with an incredible, two incredible things. First, it starts with great enemy design. Just like wow, holy shit, these enemies look really cool.
Yeah,
like flower heads, and they're like wireframe bodies, not necessarily like dress form bodies, basically.
Right.
With strange tails and blah blah blah, and then the text on screen is like, the others have arrived. They can't be hurt. Right. And I'm like, oh shit, okay, okay, they can't be hurt. That's okay, good. That's an interesting premise. Like, look at these cool creatures. Look at this weird, look at this cool dog that has like leaf hair and a weird cone face. Right. I don't. And it's like, until now, my God, every fucking, they cannot be stopped until now. Until JRPG protagonist 30 shows up with a fucking sword. Like, okay.
Hey, I've the got interesting thing of your premise. My life is pretty crazy.
God. It's so like, you had the premise. The premise was dope. The premise was these cool creatures who are like spooky by their nature, and then also they can't be stopped, are here. What do you do? Way more interesting than I use my laser sword to kill them. That's what I do. What I do is I kill them along with my militarized group of tactical monster killers who launch missiles at them. What the fuck was the problem? We had missiles.
Well, no, he's got to use psychokinesis to make them vulnerable, you see?
Oh, I see. Yeah,
right? Okay. He's the only one who can do it, obviously.
Right.
Because that's a Shonen protagonist.
Cool enemy designs. I love them.
Yeah.
I just am frustrated. Anyway. So go ahead. No, what are you excited for? I'd rather hear what you're excited for than me be disappointed.
I mean, I'm still excited for that Yakuza game because
totally.
But like, we already knew about that, you know. It was cool to see some new things, but it was just like, that game's still a thing. Great. Excited for that to be a thing.
Rob, you had some thoughts about this new Avalanche game, right?
Well, yeah, I just thought it was depressing in the way I find a lot of Avalanche stuff. Which is that, like,
which game was this?
This is Second Extinction.
Oh, Dino Crisis.
Yeah, exactly. you are sort of deposited on this barren, menacing, gorgeous-looking landscape, and then it's cut to, again, like sizzle reel of you machine-gunning velociraptors.
Kill them all!
Second Extinction.
Second,
Yeah, and like it made me think about like how, again, if I think about games like how good Avalanche's tech tends to be in terms of like creating these really atmospheric, lavish outdoor spaces, the sense of like being in, not just like out in the world, but like out in a wilderness. And then what is so often made with that tech is really derivative, uninspired action games that don't really leverage any of that capacity. You know, like, I think, like,
I
for do. Me, I look
we
at
we played Generation Zero together last year, like, months ago.
Right. Like, right. And we were like, this almost
so
gets
close.
There.
It's so close. Mm-hmm. I went back and played some more of it, like, last month. I didn't even talk about it on the podcast, but I went back and played more of it because I was, like, getting into Tales of the Loop, Tales from the Loop mode, and, like, okay, cool, mm-hmm. let's see, let's go back. And there were some updates. I'd seen some people on Twitter saying that they'd kind of, like, turned it around, and the reviews suggest that, like, the recent reviews on Steam are now mostly positive, and they changed, like, how some itemization stuff works and blah, 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 blah. And it's still that game. It's still that game. Like, I still enjoyed, like, I enjoyed the first 45 minutes of the hour I put in, and the last 15 minutes were so, like, ugh, I just stopped playing instantly. And well, this looks less interesting to me than that.
Yeah, I think, see, and the thing is, like, the game that I want them to make, I think, is probably one that is maybe just completely unmarketable, right? Like, yeah, I want the Hunter with fucking aliens or something yeah. like that, right? Like, I want a game where you have more of that. Okay, we were bringing up Geiger earlier. So much of, like, Alien, for instance, is the pauses between, sense of absence, the time to reflect on your situation, the lack of certainty or even understanding of what surrounds you, what you're dealing with. And that all, like, if a game is going to have that sort of, if you're going to evoke that sort of emptiness, you can't also do the, and here comes the wave of little dinosaurs, and then later we're going to have the spooky, like, you're going through the abandoned earth. But for now, you got to kill these 80 little dinosaurs with a machine gun. Circle strafe some. You'll get it. Like, those two experiences can't really coexist, I don't think. And it was just a bummer seeing that this one looks just so particularly uninteresting. Like, fuck, man. You know, I'm not even necessarily against, like, oh, shit, there's dinosaurs and they want to eat me. They're coming at me. But, like, they can't, like, but if they're just, like, cannon fodder enemies where it's, like, look, run around in a circle and spray them with machine gun fire, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we're hitting something where there's a through line in what we were talking about here, which really just underscores that we probably aren't the target demographic for much of this stuff anyway, because the game that we have all just described for the last, you know, 20 minutes that we want to play is Alien Isolation, a game where the enemy can't be killed. And it can't be stopped, and where everything is atmospheric and takes the Geiger stuff seriously.
And a game that was famously a smash hit.
And was huge, huge hit. Everyone loved Alien Isolation. Huge hit. Very marketable. I know what the fuck it is. You know, I will say, okay, here's a moment for me was the beginning of the trailer for a game called The Ascent, which seems to be like a top down, like, isometric action game that looks sort of like Ruiner. There's a moment there where I was like, that's it, that's right, Prey 2, the original Prey 2 is back, baby. Alien cyberpunk bullshit. I'm ready to go on. I'm ready to be part of a grab team that captures bounties. Yeah, let's go, let's get it. And then it was this thing, which looks fine. But again, the thing that's so tough about a lot of these games is that, like, there are so many other games that feel like they're in the same genre space that are providing the same types of actions and experiences that I'm not necessarily super hyped on seeing any of them. Even like the Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 trailer.
Oh, the sick Joker memes?
With the sick Joker memes.
Like, that's kind of how it felt, right? It's like, what do vampires do? Oh, vampires do all kinds of fucked up shit. Like,
yeah. Have you seen Hannibal?
Paint smiles on people's faces.
I thought it was going to be a DC game. Because I thought, like, that face specifically that they've used in recent, you were like, Joker shit. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Then
I'm still very, very curious about that game. But it's actually interesting because, like, I think this is the most of it I've seen. Like, I just ended up not spending a lot. I haven't looked at a lot of footage for it. I didn't see it at E3. I know Rob, you went and saw it. So, like, I've realized, like, oh, I'm kind of saving this game for myself in a little way. And that's kind of fun to look to think about and look forward to.
Well, and that's the weird thing. Like, again, why these things do certain types of games a disservice is, so, like, when I saw it at E3, you know, it's it's a vampire RPG, right? Yeah. Like most of what I saw was going around the neighborhood talking to people and like finding out what's up, right? Like right. that's kind of the vibe of that game. And it's all very, like, it all looked pretty interesting, right? It's vampire mm-hmm. politics, you know, three different factions basically all trying to get you to be their sort of pet press ganged PI in some ways.
Right.
That's not going to make... Actually, I think you could make a good trailer for that. But I think also we have a problem where the aesthetics of video game trailers have gotten so fucking narrow that everything just kind of gets whipped into this sort of tasteless mash.
Mm-hmm. Agreed, which is tough. There was like a space game called Chorus, but the U in Chorus... I mean, it's just called Chorus. This is the thing. It's just called Chorus, but they've stylized
that U that way into a V.
Not in history.
No. I mean, for this game,
I've never heard of this game. Before.
I thought this was. Oh, never mind. If this was first, I could have sworn I heard something about this before, but maybe I'm making this up. Is this first look? Chorvis.
I have no idea. It's just called Chorus. The V is style is not real. No, you're right. Or wait, no, this is what's the full name? It's Chorus a something something, right? Is Rise is one the? It's probably just a tagline. Yeah. The problem is I'm searching for Chorus game, and what I'm getting is Chorus, an adventure musical in development on Fig, which is a different. Is a different thing.
I put Chorvis into fucking Google. And the first two videos are Chorvis Rises 1 reveal trailer.
See? Well, because what people think it might look like is like core versus.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Chorvs. Because it has that like very particular like space imperial like a 40K style gothic space shit. So it's Chorvs. You have to like really get the back of your throat and really get the sound of like of a disintegrating empire of a dilapidated ancient galactic rule. Chorvs. Rises one.
Chorus, an adventure musical.
Yeah, that's what I said. Different game. Development on Fig. That's what I said. Yes.
I did not.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Fuck. Yeah. This has nothing to do with the musical game. They're going to run into trouble. One of these two games is going to be in trouble. So anyway, that game had spaceships.
They just need to lean into Chorvs.
Yeah.
It had spaceships, but I've seen better.
I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah.
What's up? You sounded excited for a second.
Oh, I was thinking about Madden. And smart delivery and smart choices.
Yeah, smart choices. Smart delivery was a phrase that we heard a lot today. Yeah, smart delivery came up a lot today. Smart delivery is the thing that Microsoft is really pushing developers to do, is what is my understanding from talking to some devs. Like really, really, really like, hey, this is it. You got to do this thing. You all want promotion. That is kind of how it's been characterized. I think it's been reported on. The smart delivery is when you release a game for the Xbox Series X. If you buy it, you get it on both Xbox One and Series X. So that's
like forwards compatibility almost.
It is. Yeah, exactly. It's like if I bought, for instance, Chorvs, which I believe Chorvs has smart delivery. Mm-hmm. Then if it doesn't, I'm sorry to the developers. I don't want to misrepresent this. At least many of these games they had this. If you buy it on the Xbox One and then you buy an Xbox Series X like a couple months later or a year later, guess what? It's just part of your. It's already there. You've already gotten it. You already bought it once. You don't have to buy it a second time. That's smart delivery. And I will say that's smart delivery. As someone who like is not looking forward to buying a very expensive console this year or two if I have to, then I would prefer not to also then have to rebuy games when it's time to do that. When it's time to like play them on the new console. So the idea that like that's just like, hey, a big feature that Microsoft is pushing for, my life has benefited from it. I have no idea what the back end looks like for devs. What were you going to say, Kato?
Isn't that kind of the thing, though, is that you don't have to buy a new two new consoles?
That's what I'm... Well, right. I mean, yes. That's a, well, let's get to that. Let's get to that at the end of this, because that is part of the problem for them, for both of these big companies. So that's like what Microsoft is pushing for and what a lot of these games are offering. Madden is not actually, though, right? Rob, is that why you raised it?
What's yeah, I mean, there's a weird announcement from EA, press release, saying, like, putting an asterisk on this. First of all, it doesn't look like they talk about smart delivery at all here.
So they don't use that language.
They don't use, because I suppose smart delivery implies a certain open-ended commitment to what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And EA wants to make clear, this is not open-ended. They're saying that, yes, players who purchase Madden 21 on Xbox One will upgrade to Xbox Series X at no additional cost, ensuring that players will not have to purchase Madden NFL 21 twice. Ah, but wait. Paragraph down, to receive the offer, players must purchase Madden NFL 21 on Xbox One by December 31st, 2020, and upgrade to Xbox Series X by March 31st, 2021. So this is early adopters only, and if you don't hit that window, guess you can pay for Madden twice. or probably you can pay for EA's service and get in the door that way. But it seems like a strikingly ungenerous, I understand why you might think, okay, we probably do want to put limits on what this offer comprises. I just don't think, it just seems like it's going to piss people off putting these sort of limits on it to no real gain.
Yeah, I don't know what you gain from this, honestly. I mean, I guess the thing they're imagining that they're gaining from it is they probably have those charts that say, here are the people who will buy this game in August, September.
Right.
And then we'll get an Xbox Series or X for the holidays and the holidays. And then in January, we'll want to buy Madden again because they play Madden. Those people are covered, right? When is the cutoff?
March. So you have to have bought it by the end of this year, December 31st.
Okay. So if you,
but then you also need to have made your upgrade by the 31st of March.
So for instance, let's say here's a scenario. Let's say it's playoff season. You get excited. You don't have an Xbox Series X. You have an Xbox One. Maybe an Xbox One X. You buy Madden because you're excited for the playoffs. You play it on your Xbox One. And then it's your birthday in June, and someone gives you a Series X. Too bad for you.
Yep.
Buy it again.
But then you'll just be for the next, so thirsty but then for the next Madden.
Right.
The next Madden's around the corner.
Don't want to slake that thirst.
I think do you think that's part of it, too, is that they don't want to step on the next Maddens if people get an upgrade?
No, they want money. Why not? Why? No one, no. Because like, if you're getting that upgrade and you care about that, you're still just going to be the person who wants to buy the next Madden.
Even if you upgrade the summer. Like, do you think that's not a big enough bump for people to be like, oh, let's just keep playing this one?
I'm trying to imagine, like, why it is so important to get that person who, like, buys their playoff copy for the Xbox One and then, like, gets the new console.
Just do the fucking thing.
Like, why is it important to make that person maybe buy it twice or discourage them from buying the next? I don't understand it.
So to be clear, I understand why a developer wouldn't want to do this program at all, which is, woof, we don't have the, like, one, it's expensive to bring this forward and take advantage of the Xbox Series X because of the assets that we've been working on, because of the way that our systems work, blah, 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 blah. Two, hey, we are a smaller developer, and if we happen to get a second bump on purchases, that is going to let us continue to do a second project. But EA does not fit those circumstances for me in a real way. So it just feels weird. Of the games listed today, or of the games in that event today, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which we'll get to in a second, Call of the Sea, Chorus, Dirt 5, Scarlet Nexus, which was the anime Bandai Namco action game, Second Extinction, which was the Avalanche fighting dinosaurs game, The Ascent, which we did not talk. Oh, The Ascent was the kind of isometric like shooter action game. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 and Yakuza Like a Dragon all have smart delivery. So like that is a that that is like a plus. Like, I think that that is a cool thing to offer. Yeah. Like, I'm probably going to buy Yakuza Like a Dragon whenever it comes out. And then if I end up getting an Xbox Series X, that will probably be where I finish playing it one day. Because like all Yakuza games, I bet I'll put 15 hours into Like a Dragon, think it's really cool, and then get distracted. Uh-huh. And then years later, go like, well, I should really finish that. So like, I think that's a good, that's a nice feature to have. I guess, again, last things here. Dirt 5, Rob, not your cars. I mean, hashtag not my car.
The Dirt series, so I think the Dirt Rally series is probably of more interest to me these days, which sure. is where they've sort of put their more sim rally racing stuff. But yeah, the Dirt games have been good. This looks fine. It just tends to not be my thing. And again, it's so much of that trailer was just the kind of hyper saturated like impact aesthetics version of rally racing that it was tough for me to tell. Like, that if you told me that was the Crew 3, I'd have believed that too. Like, it's just tough to tell what's
bodied
to, yeah, right,
damn, ruined. Okay, so wait, you're telling me that it doesn't move the needle for you that Nolan North and Troy Baker are gonna be in Dirt 5?
What,
both of
no
them.
You're not. Both of them, they're in the career mode. They were
incredible.
They popped up in this interview after the event. Uh-huh.
Well, now I'm intrigued.
They're your mentors. They give you advice on sponsorship deals, racing strategies, and more. The career mode is built as a story-driven campaign with a narrative that takes shape based on the choices you make in between races. Shout-outs to Alessandro Barbosa over on at GameSpot for that write-up. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Can't believe they got both of them.
They got them both, finally.
It's so weird. Like,
it's kind of just like getting Al Pacino and Robert De Niro in a single project. You know, it's kind of, it kind of makes dirt.
Well, the first the time Godfather it happens, it's two. Really exciting. Uh-huh. Yeah.
The question is, do they get to talk to each other? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so is well, this a Godfather why, like, 2 or is this a Heat?
People were like, oh man, Heat, they don't get to talk to each other enough. That's you're the right. thing. So that's you're why right. that's why we need to make that movie where they're both New York City cops and then they talk all the time. Like, what if they're like two buddy rogue NYPD detectives?
How'd that one turn out?
I don't know, I didn't see it.
Was that Righteous Kill?
Yeah, Righteous Kill. Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it good?
I never saw it.
It didn't seem like there was any way that was gonna be good, right?
No, it seemed
Righteous Kill makes it sound like there's definitely a scene where like Pacino's planting a gun on a guy and De Niro's like, okay, so I came through the door and I had that gun and he took a shot at me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Two veterans, New York City detectives, work on a case of serial executions of criminals who escape justice. So one of them is the killer, right? That has to be the
twist.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Or both of them independently are doing it, and then it wraps around at the end. They discover the other, and they're like, oh, cool.
It's like Gift of the Magi, but with, like, police corruption. Like,
fuck, what is the name of that movie? Why am I, it's like, oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. It's like Gift of the Magi, but Boondock Saints.
Yes.
God, what a blessed moment it was to not know the name of Boondock Saints.
Oh my God. You know, the movie where they gotta flow the river.
Oh my God.
Some Latin shit.
And then, of course, De Niro and Pacino were most recently in Dirt 4, previously as your mentors. That's I Paint Houses. Finally, Assassin's Creed Valhalla had what they called a first look gameplay trailer, which was 90 seconds long. I feel bad because I definitely saw something earlier this week that was like, don't listen, that's not a gameplay trailer. It's in engine. Like, it's the world, but it's like atmospheric. It's just like Vikings in a house. Yeah. Like, there's a guy with a torch. Like, it's not going to be, this is what the gameplay is like. It's okay. And so my expectations were, I think, were properly set for that one. But I definitely saw a lot of people being like, yo, what's going to happen? And then nothing. So, I don't know. I wish this did anything for me. I wish I liked Vikings. I'm not a Viking person. I'm not anti-Viking necessarily. And this is not like I don't have like a big brain anti, you know what I mean? This is just taste. This is just like, I don't like grapefruit. I don't like Vikings, you know?
I mean, I think I get more interested. I think the Vikings inhabit an interesting world, right? But
sure.
If you pretend your thing is just all like Viking shit, where like the entire world is collapsed to, oh, it's all burly dudes getting out of dragon ships and burning monasteries and like kicking ass, then I'm like, I'm out. This isn't like, no, right, that's not sure. super interesting. But like, I am interested in like that period in England. Like, I think
sure.
that could be, and that's the thing, like, my interest in this will increase as they take the focus off the fucking Viking guys coming off ships
yeah.
and start to expand it to like people trying to figure out, what am I do about these Vikings?
Yeah.
What do we make of these? Like, basically, give me the Last Kingdom.
Sure. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That show's all right.
Is it all right? I haven't seen
it. It's all right. It's Bernard Cornwell. So
okay,
it's
sure.
It's military fiction where, like, just imagine the dumbest, most badass dude possible.
Mm.
Just, you know, trying to get his for adventure after adventure and never quite getting it.
Do you think that it's weird that they are making a game? Not weird. Their Viking game is primarily about, it seems like it's primarily about England, right? We can't even speculate to know what it is. But, like, this is not, like, the sagas, right? This is not, like you said, this isn't, like, Viking shit. This is not, like, you know what I mean?
This is Saxon shit.
This is Saxon shit. And that is interesting that, like, the name of the game is Valhalla, given, I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll do, like, inner Viking tribal feud shit, too. But who knows? It's not worth our time to speculate, because this gameplay trailer really wasn't a gameplay trailer. It was a taste of the atmosphere in engine.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But you gotta stop setting these things up to fail. You gotta stop setting producers out there
yes.
to talk about like, oh, here's the new shit in our game.
We're getting rid of the friction,
you know,
that
we
prevents
use
your immersion.
More in the other game.
Yeah.
This one's got like axes.
The axes are in the logo. Did you notice?
Oh.
Yeah.
The logo, the A, is two axes touching each other.
Axassin's Creed.
Axassin's Creed, yeah. Uh-huh. Axon's Creed. You got to put two axes on
two
the
axes, right.
logo.
Gotcha.
So Axon's, yeah.
Creed. Axes, one could say.
yeah, I feel, I think generally where this leaves the whole situation here is coming back to what you said earlier, Kato, of like, are you going to need to buy two consoles?
Right.
My answer is, like, probably not. I probably will not need an Xbox One X because I have a PC that I got last year that'll serve me for another 4 or 5 years, probably. By the end of that time, maybe I'll have upgraded some RAM or a graphics card or something, but the core of it should be fine. And then the PS5 stuff will be, like, do I want to play these specific PS5 games?
Right.
Which they... I mean, the thing that's tough here is we have Microsoft and Sony just whiffing out here in terms of making the sales pitch for their new product.
Right.
Again and again. And whew, I don't know.
I mean, there's still that thing that all these games are going to be on the One X. Like, none of this is exclusive to the Series X. It just looks nicer on the Series X.
Yeah, sure.
So, like,
right. Yeah.
Why would you, until there's actually any sort of exclusive that you're excited about, buy a Series X, right?
Spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on... Right, totally. And nothing
in an economic downturn. That's the other
part.
Like,
right.
Looming over all of this is like, okay, like, things have never been more precarious.
Listen, man,
but
my contract
never...
is monthly now. It could all fall apart. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I might not have that money.
Uh-huh.
Right. So just imagine, like, damn, like, I don't even know if I'm going to have a job next month, but man, these screenshots of the Medium on Series X are just, they're too good.
They're
I got to find out what that's going to look like.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Did we want to talk about the one game we didn't mention, or is it just that kind
of
bland?
Crisis thing?
Yeah.
Actually, that looked good.
That's made by one developer. That's,
when it started, I was like, "Is this a first person Ninja Gaiden?" And then it was like, "Wait, is this a Crisis?" And
the
then
answer
it was like,
is "Yes, kind of." Bright Memory Infinite. Bright Memory is available now on Steam. I think Infinite must be Infinite is either going to be, I guess, a sequel or maybe I don't know. I don't know. Let's see here. Infinite, all new, lightning fast. Da 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 da. Okay, there was Bright Memory Episode 1 came out last year, I think, on Steam. I'll link you to it. Made by a single developer. I know that Dan Reichert did a quick look of it back when he was still a Giant Bomb. And it looked really good. It's like combo heavy first person action game where you have a sword and a gun and a grappling hook and you're like pulling stuff around and it's like first person shooting, but also combat type stuff, or also sword. It's like first person Devil May Cry is kind of maybe the vibe that I got from it. And it looked dope. And then, they opened with a trailer for it. And it looked good. Like visually, it looked really sharp. Yeah. And that combat stuff looks really fun.
The weather effects look like they kick ass.
The weather effects look like they kick ass.
They had all of the weather effects on.
Yeah, my literal thing was like, hey Rob, how do you have feelings about Crysis? Because I thought this was the Crysis remake, or not remake, remaster or whatever that's been teased a few times. Because could you blame me? Like swimming in the water, popping up onto a dock, and shooting a dude. That's Crysis to me.
Yeah, you tell me this has got supernatural elements. At this point, I'm like, oh, so it's like Fear meets Crysis.
Yeah, and it does have.
You know who lives in that Venn diagram?
Me, Rob fucking Zachney. No, yeah, you're right. This is impressive. The wind looks good. Oh. Like, what's so funny about this is this leans in the most to all of the shit we've complained about from everything else.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is just a fucking gun game. You got a fucking sword. It's glowy anime bullshit. It's like,
but it's also there's a
Viking in here for no fucking reason. I don't know what's going on.
I'll tell you what's going on.
Yes, please.
A strange phenomenon which scientists can find no explanation has occurred in the skies around the world. Mm. The Supernatural Science Research Organization, SRO, has sent agents out to various regions to investigate this phenomenon. It is soon discovered that these strange occurrences are connected to an archaic mystery, an as of yet unknown history of two worlds about to come to light.
Whoa. Damn.
So that was
big Keanu Reeves energy. Yeah, I don't know if I said Viking. I think maybe that may have been an ancient Chinese warrior is my actual read on the helmet design, but I can't be
certain. It's all kind of silhouette.
I see that now.
Yes. Yes.
But that's like a Viking shield though. That giant round shield. Yes.
Well, oh wow, did you see that the shield gets like bits blown out of it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah,
but
I will say yes, this
Well, here's the thing. Is that this is actually gameplay.
Yeah, yeah.
This
yeah.
shows right. this is the this, overall
I can imagine myself doing this.
Right. Exactly.
And liking it. Oh hell yeah, DeLorean just showed up and I need to use it.
DeLorean shows up and I marked out. I got
Kit,
I'm like,
Kit,
all right.
You and me, we got to get out of here.
Oh God! Oh. Yeah, I'm down. And again, apparently being made by a single developer, which is unbelievable. I guess I believe it, but whew. Shout out! That's being made by FYQD Studio, which also
has a Steam.
Yes, this will also be out on PC for sure.
All Bright Memory owners will get Bright Memory Infinite for free. So awesome. Go buy cool. Bright Memory. For $10.
For $10.
Now that's a fucking smart delivery.
Boom. Get him. That's right. I seem to remember Dan even thinking the story was kind of cool. So, you know.
Well, yeah. There's an endorsement.
All right.
Damn. Owned.
Wow.
Shout out to Dan. I hope Dan's doing good with all this fucking nonsense happening right now. I say that like I don't talk to Dan at least twice a week. But.
Wait, hold on. What is the business model here? What is this game, though? Like,
what is
if
what?
They're just like, I could buy this game for $10.
Yeah, well, listen. I think the deal is this person sold apparently like 17,000. There's 17,000 reviews on Steam, so sold this game pretty well and probably made bank on it. And so now they're making one for console also, and I bet Microsoft is doing some co-marketing or something with it. So I don't
Isn't
know.
That part of like the Xbox thing too, though, is that you can not port what I'm just like it's easier if you're making a PC game, like it's easier to just put that stuff on Xbox. There's like less to fiddle with, or am I misremembering from something else?
At this point, I don't trust my own expertise to answer that question well. I believe it's easier than it's ever been to bring games to either PS4 or Xbox One than previous generations of consoles.
Right.
But I don't know. That still means that there's probably a lot of work to get done on it.
Sure.
But yeah, I feel like, yeah, curious. All right, well, now we've talked about everything. from that event. We should take a break, come back, talk about games we played, answer some emails. So BRB.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, we are back to talk about some games that we've been playing. Anyone have anything? Have anything they wanna shout out?
I have a short thing that I got into because they released a demo. Actually, I just remembered that I played this for more than I probably should have. Ghost Runner.
Oh, this is a cyberpunk running game.
Yeah, cyberpunk parkour, and you're a ninja. They released a demo that is short. Here's the thing. It depends on how quickly you can do it. It's like the first level of the game or whatever. My best time ended up being something like 6 minutes. But, okay. You know, I played that game for like an hour trying to get
right, it took you an
time.
Hour to get that 6 minutes right.
Right. And you know what, it felt good to jump around on walls and slash dudes up. Like, it had a good flow to it, and it had that, I think even before I got to the end, I was like, I feel like once you know these layouts, you can like really get that time down. And then there was a timer at the end. It's like, it took you X time. I was like, okay, well, now I gotta try. Now that someone's timing me, I gotta go back. And that was really, I had a good time trying to get that time down as low as possible. But yeah, that demo's up on Steam, and it looks nice, and it feels good. It feels fast in that way where, if you have a proclivity to like try to speedrun things, if they lean into it, that's definitely worth checking out. Like, I don't do much of that, but like when the ninjas thing came out for Super Mario, I got into that a bunch, but like, I'm not like a speedrunner or anything, but it was still fun to try. You know?
Heard it here first, folks. Kato is now a speedrunner.
I'm not a speedrunner.
Keep his stuff at GDQ. You should pick something.
Let me run this specific demo. I'll get it down to like, I can shave more time
off
too.
Best right now? Do you know? Does it say in game what the world record is?
It does not have others. It just says like your time to. I wonder what the Ghost Runner demo speedrunning.
10 hours ago, 3 minutes, 16 seconds.
3 minutes. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're pretty good at this.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw this person just skip a whole fight or a whole sequence.
What?
Yeah.
Great. I got to look up these sequence breaks. That'll help. That'll help a lot, you know.
Kato needs this tech.
Yeah, exactly. God. Well, we're still on weird future cyber stuff between this and Bright Memory. I'm going to shout out a tactics game that I put a few hours into because I'm just bouncing between them at this point. This is like, this is what this has become. For me is 2020 is playing different Final Fantasy games and playing a bunch of tactics games on Steam. Game called Troubleshooter Abandoned Children. I'm just going to link you all the trailer for this so that you can just run it in the background while I talk about it. Because it opens with the most off-brand Cowboy Bebop shit that I've ever heard. Why is there not a trailer here? Give me a trailer. Please. Here we go. Well, it's the early access trailer. Is it the same? Yeah, it looks like the same. So it is an XCOM style tactics game that is built around a set of pre-made anime characters. When I say it's XCOM style, I mean it's like tile based, and you have things like Overwatch. It's like XCOM Chimera in that it is not one side goes, then the other side goes. It's like inner what do you call that? You know, interspersed, interlinked, whatever, where you bounce between characters based on their speed scores.
This trailer's upsetting me.
Dude, it is wild.
What if
gone
Kenny
all over
G
the place.
Did tank?
I know. It's so upsetting. It's so upsetting. I will say there are some bops in this game. I don't think that this off-brand tank is that. But also, it's a game in which like one of your dudes does breakdancing moves to hurt enemies around you. It's a game in which like you have like a cool like lady who carries a giant fucking sword. I can't tell if this game is doing something or not. I mean, I can tell it's doing a few things for sure. The big thing that it's doing is like JRPG style excess. This is a game made in Korea. It's not a Japanese game, but I hope you understand what I mean when I say JRPG style excess. And I don't just mean that in the visuals or the aesthetic. What I mean that is mechanically. Mm. Let me show you. Let me look at some screens here to give to you. I think the first one that I took when I was like, all right, what are you allowed to do this? Was a screenshot of the way my to hit chance was being calculated in a sequence. Here is a screenshot where I'm like lining up a shot, and there are a million pieces of information on the screen.
Wow.
Immediately 75% chance to hit, 92% chance to crit, block 0%. Okay, so far so good. Hit chance is 75.67% because my aim is 71.42%, plus I have the wildlife 10%, competence 5%, fellowship 3%, distance minus 3.75%, weather rain minus 10%. You can see in the top right of the screen right now there's an environment like tab that has like a moon, rain, then a thermometer and something else. Yeah, dog. It's doing that. That is what this game is.
Oh my God.
So for instance,
honestly, I wish XCOM gave you half this fucking information.
But it doesn't exist in XCOM. That's not what XCOM doesn't care if it's raining or not. Here's a screen from like the management. You're like running your troubleshooter group, which is basically a group of corporate secret police. We'll get into it. And it's like, well, here's what sort of policies do you want to pursue inside of your various jurisdictions? Do you want to do the civilian cheer thing? Do you want to do the wholehearted support thing? How do you want to interact with like the people in this community? What else is going on in here? There's another big one. I have to find it. I have to find the masteries screen. Did I take a screenshot? If I didn't, I'm going to be mad at myself. Okay, I can show you this one at least. The character screen looks like something out of a FromSoft action RPG, where like on the right it's my HP, my vigor recovery, my attack power, my ESP power, my hit chance, my critical hit chance, my critical hit damage, my armor, my resistance, my block chance, my dodge chance, my sight, my move distance, my speed, my slashing resistance, my piercing resistance, my blunt resistance, my fire resistance, my ice resistance, my lightning, earth, water, and wind resistance. Then a bunch of armor slots, a bunch of ability slots up on the top left, four different masteries, one of which is tied to my race as a human, the rest tied to class, special abilities. It's just this. I have two professional skills. One is sword crafting and one is drug crafting. For when you make potions, you know, that's uh-huh. what they're doing. And so it is just this thing of like incredible excess of design stuff, which I mean, this game has like what do you call it? The sort of like ability feeding stuff from a gacha game where you, let's say you can see here in the top left of the screen I've sent you now, my dude who is named Albus Bernstein, who is the main character of this game, who wants to be a super cop so that he can find out secrets because a catastrophe hit the world 10 years ago and he thinks only the troubleshooters have access to the knowledge to know what really happened. He has something called
Bernstein.
I think so. In the alternate world, yeah, 100%.
This is what put him on the case.
Yes. He's like, I'm pretty sure it was Berenstein. I have to become a super cop to get access to the secret files. So I have a thing here called Wind Sword. If I want my Wind Sword to level up, I can feed other skills I learn into it, erasing them from my skill inventory. And I get those skills from fighting enemies and seeing other enemies fight. as if it were like, did either of you play the Castlevania games where sometimes you would kill an enemy and like learn a new skill from that enemy? Like,
yeah,
you fought one of those like bone throwing dudes and you kill him, like, oh, now you can throw a bone. that's like bone. This. And also,
but then you can remove that from that part of your mind palace.
Yes.
And shred it.
And shred it to make my wind sword ability better. It kind of slaps.
What?
Also, there was a skill I got at one point because I lied to my mentor. It was like, oh, you got the guilty conscience skill. Don't worry, I fed that into my wind sword also. it's bananas.
What if you didn't? What does that skill give you?
I have to look it up. I don't remember what it gave me. Guilty conscience troubleshooter. Let's see if this just works. I bet it doesn't. Oh, it does. Here we go. Masteries troubleshooter. Guilty conscience. Maximum count of each mastery section will increase by one, obviously. What? I think that means my mind palace gets bigger if I equip it. Because your mind palace is... I know I sound like Natalie talking about fucking my time at Porsche right now. Your mind palace is separated. It's not actually called your mind palace. It's called your mastery board or something like that.
You have we know what it is.
It's a fucking mind palace. Basic class masteries, advanced class masteries, race masteries, human/beast. Because by the way, you can recruit animals in this game. The beasts are like Pokemon. ESP type masteries: fire, ice, wind, lightning, earth, water, and non-ESP/spirit type masteries. I would think non-ESP type masteries is everything that doesn't fall under ESP type masteries. No, wrong. Specific subboard. There are hundreds of these skills. Hundreds? I'm going to just link you to the wiki. You just keep scrolling on this fucking thing. This thing just magic acceleration, magic theory, armor piercing bullet. Oh, here's a fucking moment I had. So one of the first quests that you have is I'm going to get to the story at some point because I'll help make all this make sense. I'll set it up real quick. You're trying to become a super... Okay, it's the dystopian future. The world went bad. You live in a city called Valhalla. It is filled with crime and terrorism and riots. And so the solution to that was to create... Also, legally, they're not allowed to have a military? And so that's a problem for reasons. And also their police are kind of inept and crime is on an all-time high. And so 10 years ago, they started this thing called the troubleshooters, where you get to be like private cops and they all have superpowers. They're like, what if the Cowboy Bebop squad had superpowers and also were cops instead of bounty hunters? And bounty hunting is kind of being a cop anyway, which we kind of hand wave that part of Cowboy Bebop because it's cool. This is how it goes sometimes. Or it's like, what if the Ghost in the Shell Section 9 crew all had more superpowers, more than just cyborg bodies, and also they were private instead of being state-run? It turns out introducing super cops to this broken society doesn't reduce crime at all, which is why earlier I was like, I don't know if this game is doing something or not.
It just makes it cooler.
It just makes it cooler. It hasn't actually changed anything. I suspect that where this goes is government conspiracy and blah, 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 obviously. Regardless, you decide to be a cop for reasons, because 10 years ago something tragic happened, and there's a great sequence early on, like within the first 30 minutes, where you try to get the information. It's like, once you like pass your troubleshooter exam, you try to get the information and it says like, no, that's still locked behind security clearance, dumbass. And you're like, oh, right. I became a super cop. That doesn't get me. No. Okay. So once you get your clearance, once you pass your exam, basically, which comes after a bunch of tutorial levels, there isn't actually an exam, but that's fictionally what has happened. You have to go find an office. You have to go set up your personal troubleshooter company's office. And so you go to kind of like your home district.
Wait, they're like franchised?
Yeah, they're franchised. It's not like there is the super cops. It's literally there are different like... PMCs that all have brands that are all competing over contracts that all have different jurisdictions around town. It's wild. The world is like really like, okay, I would watch this anime. This is like a psychopath style or again, a Ghost in the Shell style thing happening here. I'd be very suspicious of its politics for most of the season and be like, how is this going to break? is this going to break with like, we just need more good cops. Like where is this going? Anyway, so you go to set up your franchise. There's a sequence where it tells you what the rights of a troubleshooter are. Again, troubleshooters are the name of these super cops. Troubleshooter, the private security guards granted the authority to investigate and arrest The specific thing that it said at one point is like, oh yeah, they can, it's basically they're judges from Judge Dredd. They possess the right to investigate, arrest, and imprison criminals through self-judgment of the case. No! Don't give anybody...
But they're cute.
But they're very cute. But this one has a great jacket and an incredible haircut. Oh, wow. You had a question, Kato.
Do they have guns?
Yeah, they got guns. I'm shooting people all the time,
cool.
Kato.
Cool. I just want to make sure the name...
My dude has a big sword.
Trouble. Well...
Oh, shooters. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yes, uh-huh. Yes. Some of them don't need guns.
Like
they have ice
drinks?
Powers. Yes. So... I go to find an office. I find a bar run by this guy named Don Bruce. Great name. You can see the back of his body in this screenshot I'm sending you now.
His real name.
His name is Don Bruce. What's wrong? He has a ponytail, but then he also has a vest on that makes
Maybe
it
like
he
the
has,
Godfather.
It makes it look like, yeah, Don Bruce, I come to you today. He has a vest on that makes it look like he has a second longer blonde ponytail, which is very funny to me. And some local gangsters come in to extort him. They call him an old prick. He's like, hey kid, if you want a discount on your rent, help me fight these thugs off while I try to call the police. And you can't call the police because they've set down jammers blocking cell phone calls. You can destroy the jammers or you can find a landline. It's a whole thing. Regardless, one of the first things that happens in that fight, which is what I'm building to, is this like tells you everything about this game. He says, okay, I can help you fight, but also there's a secret circuit breaker back in my office. If you give me a second, I can run back there. If we, you know, you do what you need to do with that information. You're in command, kid. And so I ran him into his office and flipped the circuit breaker, which turned off all of the lights in the room, which immediately gave everyone a negative to shoot. Melee attacks don't have that negative because you're up close, but range attacks do. And since I'm a sword guy, that's good for me as a sword guy. Two... Albus then says in dialogue, like, oh, right, my mentor told me that flashbangs are better in the dark because everyone's eyes have adjusted to the dark. So when you throw a flashbang in the dark or do anything that creates the lightning debuff, it in fact increases from just being blinded by it to being having confusion, which makes people start shooting randomly or attacking their allies. So that's already like three layers of interaction, right? It's dark. Dark makes range attacks harder to hit. Flashbangs traditionally blind you, but then with those two things are combined, lightning debuffs. I don't know why they're called lightning debuffs, but lightning debuffs inside of darkness causes confusion. Then it only happened to two of the three people in the room because the third one had a mastery called sunglasses. And what the sunglasses mastery does is prevents that one specific thing from happening. And I don't know that he had, I want to be clear.
Is that the Devo looking dude?
Yeah. I think so. Or it might have been, if you go to the Don Bruce, you old prick,
screen. Is it the one with the helmet?
It's the one with the motorcycle
the
helmet.
Motorcycle
had the
helmet.
Sunglasses mastery. Maybe having that equipped gave him the mastery.
Daft Punk. Yeah.
Daft Punk. Yes.
I got my headgear confused.
No worries. So.
Let me just tell you what I love about the screenshot also.
Yeah,
in addition
please.
To Daft Punk.
Yeah.
There's actually a great evocation of scene and character in this. Like, Don Bruce has not one, but two framed photos of a dog wearing sunglasses.
It's true.
And also, like, you know what? This looks like a great after hours. Don Bruce runs a great... is this a good bar?
No.
Will it serve you drinks that he happens to have lying around at, like, 5:30 in the morning? Yes, it will. And it's got a cool jukebox. So you can already show up drunk at any time after bars have closed and, like, hang out with Don Bruce in his... Rec room.
This is exactly the fucking game it is like the thing that makes you go like, what is happening here? What is happening in every room that you go to? There's this place I just sent pictures of now called Ramji Plaza that is like a big outdoor art exhibition slash mall that is like where the third mission in the game takes place. And
we're like 85% of the way to that reality anyway. Like, have you been to an art museum lately?
You're totally right. The premise of this art exhibit is incredible. It's that like 11 years ago or 20 years ago, this artist named Ramji something or Ramjist something made a painting and tell me if you've seen Heroes before, made a painting that made it look like a big catastrophe was coming, and then it did, and he was right, and so he has spun that into a very successful art career where people think that all of his paintings are going to come true. And one of his paintings, which you can see in the outdoor art exhibit a screenshot I sent you, is of the outdoor art exhibit, and he did it a year or two before they built it. And so what they did is they looked at the painting like, well, we got to build that shit now. That looks dope. And that's great. That's great detail. Amazing. To the setting.
I love that the location appears to be the Ramji Plaza Street Trees Rest Area.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, again, like strong Boston Greenway vibes. Where it's like, do we have a good park for you? No. Do we have some trees planted next to this coffee bar? Yes.
Yes.
You can enjoy that. This is good city living.
There was a bit where I was like, trying to find cover, and the only thing available to me looked like a cube of running water. And I was like, that can't give cover. But yeah, it did. It absolutely gave cover.
Do you?
Okay, hold on. The spoonage thing.
The spoons. I was seeing the spoons.
What's up?
Seeing the skill for spoonism in the wiki.
Yeah, what's up?
Also, these skills are wild.
So spooning gives powers?
I think it's, so... The second thing that those people say might actually help you. So what you're describing is a screenshot I sent you in which a dude says to two other dudes, do you believe in the spoonage in this art gallery? Well, the next thing maybe will help explain the situation. As they say, trust in the Lord. Spoonists are one of four enemy group types, I think. They are some sort of cult. Here's what I will say is good about this. That happens, and then after that whole sequence happens, every other NPC that you've kind of recruited to help fight this fight goes like, were they talking about spoons? What the fuck were they talking about? So,
amazing.
So yeah, who truly knows? I think that there's like, there are spoons and spoonisms. Okay, there's criminals, spoonists, wanted man, and beasts and machines. Those are the types of enemies. There's like an entire breakdown screen of all of the different type of enemies that you meet, and they all have like different, you learn more about them as you fight and learn their weakness. You know, it's like one of those. And you learn their masteries and you da-da-da-da-da. I think this game I didn't even talk about the fact that when this game starts up, it's like, oh, do you want to play online or offline? What are you talking about? What do you mean? And I want to tell you, I picked online because I saw someone say, just play online. I don't know what it means still. And amazing. I'm a few hours in. I don't know if it's like...
I was just going to say, I'd love some of these mastery names.
Uh-huh. Yeah, please, shout out your faves.
I'd love to equip Black Tiger and also Sense of Belonging.
Sense of Belonging seems really, really good. So that is specifically a company. Oh, are these all the company ones? Yeah. So on top of your individual masteries, right? So maybe you have a mastery for like, you know, Frosty Wind, which triggers frostbite to nearby enemies at the end of the turn. There are also company masteries, which are about your company, your like troubleshooter company. And one of the set that are available to you when you first start the game, like at the very beginning, when you create your company, are customer satisfaction, which is that you get more money after completing a case from your clients. Individualism, which is that every individual character in your company gets 25% more XP. Scavenger, which is that you get more items. Your chance of getting items from people is higher. Sense of Belonging, which is the amount of ambition consumed decreases by 70% after completing a case. I forgot to tell you about the ambition bar. Every character has an ambition bar, obviously, and taking damage or losing failing a mission reduces that ambition. That ambition quite a bit as people kind of burn out on doing the job, and if that empties out, they're on the bench until they can recover enough of their ambition to get back out there. But with Sense of Belonging, you don't take as big of an ambition hit because you're like, hey, we're all together, we're all in it together.
Wow.
I opted for, where is it, where's the one that I picked here? I don't see the one that I picked here. Oh, expertise, which is the chance of acquiring masteries increases by 50%. You know I'm about those masteries. Right. I'm out here to try to learn. So, you know, I really badly need to learn the learning support mastery. And the best way for me to do that is to be an expert, obviously. It's just wild, and it's very fun to see this kind of mode of game design applied and layered on top of something that I think we often talk about being at its best when it's transparent and simplistic. You know, even when you go back and talk to, you know, we just talked about Chimera Squad and Gears Tactics over the last few weeks, and we've talked about like where those two differ and how the benefits of both of those things kind of differing in terms of transparency and clarity and blah blah blah. When we talk about Into the Breach, we talk about how it's so sharp because of the transparency that like almost board game like design, right? Oh, it's all laid out there. There's no chance to hit percentages. This game is like, no, there's 7% to hit chances. They all combine. You can see what they're all called. Is it windy out today? You know, like, and that maximalism one is so in lockstep with the anime aesthetic because a lot of this sort of like action anime shonen stuff is already like enamored with and embodies a sort of maximalist emotional. We talked about this on the Valkyria Chronicles, Three Moves Ahead forever ago, Rob, where I talked about anime being almost like impressionistic at times, where it's not necessarily about trying to simulate some sort of reality. It's about trying to evoke a sort of emotional truth of the characters and the situation. And so I kind of feel like this weirdly connects in that way, that there is something very like My Hero Academia about the fact that what you have is a troubleshooter who troubleshooter already sounds like a thing that would come right out of My Hero Academia or something similar style anime.
It's absolutely but a like hero name.
Totally. But like to then have a character who's like, oh yeah, I got I managed to win that fight because my predator's eye increased the 20% hit chance, and then and the rain didn't affect me because I have the rain beast's mastery, but it affected all of my enemies. Like, yeah, okay, fucking sure, why not? It's cool. I'm gonna give it a few more.
Get a
nights.
Sense of a story unfolding. Like, yeah, I mean, do these characters hang out and like? Because that's the thing I also want to see, like, is, okay,
so
is it
I'm
good?
Not, I am not in far enough to, like, be like, here are my faves, but there does seem to be that style of, like, I wouldn't go as far as saying Persona necessarily, right? But it is a game that has, like, that sort of, like, characters chatting with each other, bantering. There are dialogue options in the middle of combat and during the kind of more narrative story beats also. So there's like there's a moment when like this attack happens at this art gallery and you have to kind of go around and try to recruit the other troubleshooters who all happen to be hanging out coincidentally in the art gallery at the same time. You're kind of like meet cute with your future partners. And with each of them, you have to be like, all right, how do I want to tackle this? How do I want to like invite them in? Do I want to try to guilt them? Do I want to try to like, you know, call on their sense of honor and dignity? Do I want to try to call on the fact that like, if they turn their backs, they're basically hurting people? Do I want to beg them? Get on my hands and knees and beg them. And so there is that style of interaction. I don't know if there's straight up a like could I miss having one of those characters? Did I just happen to make the right choices, or would I have gotten it anyway? Like, is it tracking character relationships or what? But what I will say is those characters do have like really bright, again, anime or JRPG style personalities that are very crisp. You can very much see like, oh, these are the two friends. So like the two characters I linked earlier who are hanging out here, the kind of white haired girl with the huge like orange sword on her back, and then like your goth girlfriend, actually probably her goth girlfriend in my head canon at least, next to her, are very much like the prickly witch like one and the like jock girl with the big sword, and that comes through. You know what I mean? Like the good-hearted jock comes through. The character who one of the other characters that I recruited there was someone who was like clearly obsessed with like Sentai shows and like sees herself as like, my name isn't Iris, it's Hero Iris or something like that. And you have to like appeal to that side of who she is. You can't just like say, hey, people need help. You have to be like, Irene, I know that you're a real hero and the people need a hero like you right now, and I'm on your side, you know, that style of thing. I don't know that the story is going to be good, but the premise is, and I say that about a lot of kind of anime-inspired worlds, and this style of genre fiction has the sort of thing that's like, oh, here's our basic premise. Will we execute on it? I don't know. Will it give you, the player or the viewer, a lot to like chew on and feel like you're in a space? Probably. It also had a late title card that I really liked, which is, there is a moment when you're chasing someone across, or someone is chasing someone across a rooftop, and it pulls back to reveal that they're running in front of a big billboard that just says "Troubleshooter, save your dream," and that's incredible. I don't know. I think my guess is it's doing something with the idea of these police not necessarily being chill. There's a moment where after you finish your troubleshooter training and you're going back to your home district to set up your shop, your personal troubleshooting company, it says, in Valhalla, it's illegal to leave your district of residence without official reason. A long time after the train set out, the gloomy sky finally cleared up. In the distance, Albus could see the gigantic border wall. And like, I don't know that stuff is being framed as like good. I think it's very much... Yeah. Doing the thing that's like, oh, this is the world to these people. These people just live in this world and are used to this stuff. But you, the outsider, can be like, what's going on here? This seems a little fucked up. After you like save all those people in the art exhibit, the cops show up, the real cops show up and tell you, I'm sure you're already familiar with your rights and the consequences that come with them. However, just in case, I would like to remind you that if something happens to someone under your command, civilian or not, it will be on your hands. And that guy is dressed like the most fascist cop you've ever seen, with like all black everything except chrome blue SMG in his hands. And he's specifically mad at you for having recruited other local troubleshooters to try to save people's lives. So, you know, I don't think that it's going to be a radical text by any means, but the places seem neat. That bar is exactly what you suggested, Rob, and it is part of your like XCOM-like base. You can mouse over there and order a drink. And so that goes a long way. Anyway, that's Troubleshooter, a game I thought I was going to shout out and instead rambled about for 25 minutes.
I'm seeing dialogue choices here.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. There are. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love this. When they do this.
Yeah, this is her thinking about your character, whether or not you are a villain, of course, badly villain. I think that's been fixed. I think that specific translation's been updated.
Sure.
Or absolutely villain.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things you could do with her is you could try to turn it around on her and say, like, no, you're the villain. I have no idea what that did because I knew that. I felt like that would get me punched.
Good.
So yeah, I think it should be on people's radars. Or rather, this is a game that's already on people's radars. It's just not getting mainstream coverage. It again has like 2,100 Steam reviews that are all very positive. Or that are majority, that have the very positive rating overall. Right. And so I feel like this is one of those things that's been kind of a sleeper hit that people have missed. It's been out for a couple of weeks. It came out on April 23rd. We'll see. Rob, did you also, you linked the thing of the two dudes looking out the windows at the city?
Dude, that looks so much like Han and what's his face. You know what I mean? The same, yeah, 100%, same energy.
It's 100% that energy. So I'm going to keep playing
it. Well, troubleshooting's my Mexico.
I will say it took me exactly like 2.5 hours before enough of the mechanics clicked for it to not be impossible for me to talk about. Like, those first 2 hours, I was like, what is even happening? I just have to let this wash over me. This is like, there's a montage sequence that was kind of cool. There's like some other stuff happening. It's like, okay, I kind of get what's going on here. Okay, but I don't know how the mechanics. And then I don't even remember what it was. Maybe it was the flashbang sequence. Maybe it was something a little bit later than that, where I was just like messing around with the, I think it was when I was messing around and I understood that you could feed masteries to other masteries. I was like, oh, that's what this game is. That's how this whole system works. There are a billion builds and you can da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, but it is not approachable in any reasonable way out the gate. But I'm kind of enamored with it. I'm kind of enamored with that in the same way that, I think, you look at someone, something like the way AVB has written about games like Code Vein, and their focus on just like overwhelming you with information and numbers and style and all that stuff to produce a certain type of like affective character to the work that is not seen elsewhere. Works especially well for me here because I never see it in this particular subgenre of tactical RPG. It doesn't even feel like an SRPG the way we talk about, when I was growing up, we called things like Final Fantasy Tactics or Tactics Ogre SRPGs, strategy RPGs. I don't know that actually reflects the difference between the word strategy and tactics necessarily, but that is how we thought about those games. And I don't think that those games are technically in a different genre than something like XCOM, but there are characteristic differences between the games of that lineage and the games of the kind of, especially contemporary, the old XCOM, again, was even much more different than the kind of Japanese tactics games of its era. But this feels so much more like something from taking the kind of framework of XCOM 2012 or whenever Enemy Unknown came out, and layering on top of it and weaving through it all this entire other lineage of games, and it's working for me so far. So Troubleshooter, Abandoned Children, a great subtitle, yeah. We'll see. I don't know if there's an anime or something. The short text on Steam says that it takes place in the world of Troubleshooter, so maybe there's a whole world that I don't know about. But who could say?
Some sort.
Maybe it's a franchise. Or
maybe they're just setting it up because this is the first episode.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's what it is. Who could say? All right. Is there anything else on that note that we want to quickly shout out or talk about? I feel like
I am sated.
That's it. You've gotten what you need from this. I'm going to save. I have some more Fallout 76 thoughts. Those can come on Monday. I feel like I've taken up enough fucking air. And we got some questions, but I'm not, I feel like maybe we've done a pod today. What do you think?
Yeah that's where I'm at.
We've done a pod.
We'll wrap back around. But as always, you can and should send some questions in.
I just got to step away from this banquet table, go into the living room, put on a game, well, an old game in this case, and fall asleep.
What old game are you putting on? Are you saying you're saying like turn on the golf channel? You're saying you're going to yeah. I got you. This is like after the big dinner, you're going to, I get you 100%. Right. What a great experience. I miss that experience. That's a great experience. Some NBA game is on you half care about. Ugh, beautiful. All right. Well, gamingadvice.com, please use the subject question so that I can see it, because that email now gets a lot of garbage, and it's way easier for me to see the stuff that says that is a question for us. If you put question in the subject, it'll end up showing up in our like labeled sub tab thing. Thank you to Bowen, as always, for the track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Find out more about that at waypoint.zone/BOEN. Follow me on Twitter at @Austin_Walker. Follow Waypoint, twitter.com/Waypoint. How about you, Kato? Where can people find you?
At @A_Kato_appears.
And Rob, how about you?
At Rob Zachney.
Last couple things I want to shout out on the site this week. One is, if you enjoyed Rob's story from Monday about IndyCars, the iRacing stuff, or if you heard it but were like, I need more details, or I need to see it laid out in text, or I need to look at some videos, you should go to the site, because Rob did a great write-up of the whole thing and sort of the kind of expanding on some of the conversations that we had on that Monday show. And that is called IndyCar's Virtual Race Crashes Sparked Real-World Controversy Among Drivers. And then I also want to shout out this Matt Galt piece: using leaked Nintendo source code poses serious risk to emulators, just because I think it's probably worth being up on the situation with some of the Nintendo emulation stuff that's been happening recently. However you come down on it, definitely worth knowing what the fuck is going on there. So with that said, we'll be back on Monday with another episode of Waypoint Radio. Until then, please stay safe. And as always, fuck capitalism. Go home. Peace.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right.
All right.
Love to stumble into a good seg. Love to find a good segment and just like run it and just like, all right, good. Ugh.
Thanks, Troubleshooter.
Thanks, Troubleshooter. Thanks. One of those games I installed on a whim. Very much one of those games I was like, you know, I've been seeing this thing. Should I? And then like,
Anime Tactics Rococo.
Yeah, exactly. God. All right. I'll get this uploaded ASAP for you, Kata.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Peace. Bye.